Think about that. Why do you serve God today? Is it just to get out of hell? You think that's enough? What's the scripture where it says, I don't even know you? Is it just enough to serve God because you don't want to go to hell? This is where that surrender comes from, where it's got to be more than just knowing Him. It's got to be more than just saying, I'm saved. I've been baptized once when I was a kid. I was baptized, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be something that changes your life completely, that you can explain it to someone else like, I would never be here. I would be dead today if I was continuing on that track that the enemy had me on. But here's where God has brought me from. And here's where God has taken me. When you get in that place of surrender, when you get in that place of emptying out yourself, not always can you empty out yourself. Now, I mean, you have to come to God and say, God, what else is in me that I can just deplete before you, God, that I can just pour out, that you can pour in? If you really want to know God that way, you got to come to a place of the altar. You got to come to that place of the altar over and over and over again, as we said this morning. How many have the Holy Spirit in giftings of tongues? You all have the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus in your life, in your heart, you have the Spirit of God. But if you want the gift of baptism of tongues, do you fight for it? Do you long for it? Do you really long for it? Because if you really long for something, you won't give up on it. You'll continually move. God, I don't understand. God, I surrender some areas of my life I don't understand. And you come before Him, and all of a sudden, it might be 6 months. But it's a dedication that you, not everybody's that way, but it's a dedication that finding who He is. Are you really dedicated to knowing Him? Are you really dedicated to knowing Him? Because it is so much more than just getting out of jail. So much more to getting out of jail. So that is not my message today, but it is the Holy Spirit's message today. And so I've still been studying Revelation. And are you guys getting anything out of Revelations? It's been a couple weeks since we talked about Revelation. And we're going to talk about some scripture today that might be confusing. But I don't think it's that confusing as you open it up. And so we're gonna go through Revelations chapter 12 through 16. They're short chapters. I'm going to knock through it pretty quick. But there's some things that we want to talk about in some of this. So the last time we came, we went through Revelations. There were seven seals have been opened. The seven trumpets have been blown, right? The church, do you believe you're here during those moments? I believe you're not. I believe you're already gone. The church is gone. And you're going to read in here where it talks about there's saints still here. And there are going to be some people here that have not taken the mark of the beast, that did not make the rapture of the church, that did not make it. But they're going to realize that they knew God enough, but not enough to get into the rapture, because they wanted to live their life the way they wanted to. They wanted to mold their life in happiness and joy of the world instead of the happiness and the joy of the Spirit of God. How many are happy when you're in the Spirit of God? I mean, when you get into that Spirit of God, and the joy that rises up within you, there's something about the joy of the Lord. I mean, especially when you're by yourself, man. Right? It's a little bit harder to do in a church setting. It's a little bit harder to do in front of your wife. It's a little bit harder to do to show your emotions. We're strong, tough men, right? We don't want to show our emotions. But you know, as the Spirit of God begins to move on you, the emotions begin to well up. The more that you hold it down, the more the Holy Spirit says, okay, I see how you are. But you know, you get in that place of a privacy before the Lord, women too, and you just let the joy of the Lord rise up within you, and then all of a sudden, man, he gets you, and you get Him. And so we finished chapter 11, and it says, I'm you can leave that there. And I'm just going to read. It says, then the, this is verse 19. It says, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in the temple. And there was lightning, noises, thunder, and earthquakes, and great hail. That's the last verse of chapter 11. The tabernacle of God was opened up. The temple was opened up. And here lies the Ark of the Covenant. God is saying, I remember the covenant I've made with men. I remember the covenant. The lightning and flashes and thunder is the presence of the living God. On Mount Sinai, what happened? What happened to the mountain? It was covered in smoke, right? It was covered with the glory of God. We wouldn't think the glory of God would be this dark cloud over a mountain, fire and lightning moving, going to and fro in the sky. But have you guys seen some of the lightning been going on the last few weeks? Wow. Some storms that came through. That is nothing compared to the power and presence of God. Absolutely nothing compared. And so he's saying at the end of chapter 11 that the covenant or the tabernacle was open. The Ark of the Covenant is seen before John. The power and presence of God. He is still true. He is still true to us as humans on the earth. His covenant is unbreakable. Listen to me. His covenant will never be broken between you and him. The only way the covenant can be broken is what? You to fall away, because he'll never break his end. What does the Bible tell? What does it tell us? That sin breaks covenant, breaks fellowship. If sin breaks fellowship, right? So if we are living in sin, our fellowship with Jesus just begins to go like this, right? If I sinned against you, our relationship begins to fall away. It's just a nature. So now as we move on to Romans. You got me saying Romans. Sonny's in Romans all the time. So Revelation 12 through 14, the Spirit of God pauses. He pauses for John. This is kind of the background history of what is the behind the scenes, or like a documentary of life, of all that God has been doing in human history. I know you probably haven't heard it this way, but I just want you to listen to it just a little bit. It explains the cosmic root of all sin. You know, we've talked about the sign in the heavens. What was that in 2000? Was that 16, there was a sign in heaven. It was actually this cosmic sign. It's also the birth of Christ, exactly, absolutely. And so then after these, there's seven bowl judgments that come, and then there's another pause. I think it's in chapter 17, before the bowls are poured out. And right after the bowls are poured out. So let's just get into Revelation 12 real quick. And it says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Be the 12 tribes of Israel. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Mary, right? And another sign appeared in the heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and seven demons on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and is in his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So this is telling you how this is all playing out. John gets this stop, pause after Revelation 11, he gets this pause, and the angel comes to him, angel of the Lord, says, now looky here, here's the whole history of this whole thing. And then it says, Satan thrown out of heaven. It says in verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil, and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. So, where is the accuser of the brethren right now? He's accusing you. He's here, but he's still accusing you. He hasn't stopped. Right? He hasn't stopped. The accuser of the brethren, who is that? Satan. Verse 11. And they overcome him by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This is why we want you guys to speak your testimony. Because the people that are locked or trapped from the enemy, your testimony can set them free. It's a freedom that you don't know that your testimony can do, but your testimony can set them free. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus' blood. It's always going to be the same. It's never going to change. And by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So this is the way they did in the synagogue. They would reopen up the scripture and read it. They didn't put their spin on stuff. They read the scripture. And then they began to dive in and ask questions. They said, okay, now it's time for questions. So we're reading the scripture today. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. How much is that? 3.5 years. Or 1,260 days, right? I think it's 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Verse 15. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. So who's he after? Absolutely. He's after the church. He's after the offspring. You, all of us, the church, worldwide. Man, I wish we could get a glimpse of the church in the other countries. I wish we could really see a glimpse of the churches in the other countries, of how they do worship, and how they do preaching, and how they do community, and how they live their life. It would be so interesting to see how different we are than they are. It would be so different to see the first century church, how they process life together. The intention of God in the earth. Chapter 13. Then I stood. We're still on this preview, overview, documentary of what God is telling John. This is the whole thing of Revelation, or the whole world. The sin came in. It says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on the horns, 10 crowns. And on the heads, a blasphemous spirit. And you're talking about political theater. You're talking about religious theater. You're talking about all this power, right? So when you start studying the old the church when it first began, and you see how the Roman Catholic Church started to dictate laws, regulations, and wealth. It's unbelievable that how the Roman church started out to be good, but man come in and corruption began to come in. Actually, Satan came into the church, right? Satan came into the church and made corrupt men corrupt. And they said, I have power. They pretty much had power over the kings. And people were just listening and doing everything that the church said. And finally, we have a reformation that came forth, and we started to see a change in bringing things back the way it should be. And the Roman church was being called out of the things that they were doing. And so now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Who is that? Huh? Antichrist. The dragon is Satan. And I saw on one of his heads, and his had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast, the Antichrist. We know that's coming. The AI and these mega, what are they called, the data centers? There's a new guy come out, so that nobody likes the data centers because they're using all of our water, using all of our electricity, and it's just so much stuff going on about a data center. And so this guy just now created, I think he's out of Iowa, he just created a nuclear-powered station that creates all the power for the data centers, but it doesn't use any water. Yeah, it's amazing. It's not going to use the water like it was before. So it's going to create where it's not using, because everybody's against them, right? Because it's using all our natural resources, but Elon Musk is going to send data centers up in space so there is no cooling. The space is cool enough that you won't have to have water. And so there are going to be data centers all over our atmosphere. Do you think the enemy's coming? I guarantee the enemy's coming. He's coming like a flood. He's coming to steal away what he thinks he can get. And man, he's going to deceive the church. He's going to deceive people. If you're not into the Word of God, if you don't know what's going on, he's going to deceive. And so it says in verse 3, and I saw on one of the heads that he had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth to speak great things. He was given a mouth to speak. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. What does Satan try to do always? But he also tries to imitate God. He always tries to do the exact opposite of what God does. Right? You got a holy trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you have a devilish trinity. Right? The dragon, Satan, the false prophet, and I'm blank now. Antichrist. Yeah. So he does the same thing. He wants all power and authority over all the nations. And it says it right here that he has, in verse 7, it says that every tribe, tongue, and nation. Let's see where I'm at. Verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. That's the people that we don't get to witness to. That's your sons and your daughters, your family members, our friends, our associates. all who dwell on the earth. If Christ comes back 2028, the resurrection happens in 2028. Could it happen then? Absolutely. Could it happen in 2027? Absolutely. Listen to me. We have friends that are dying. I'm 55 years old and I have friends that are dying of heart attacks. You guys have been through that. You know that some of your friends are dying. Do they know Jesus? Do they know him? Not just know about him, but do they know him? We are going to be responsible for the people that we're around, that we did not give our testimony, that we did not speak the love of Jesus to them. You don't have to browbeat them. You don't have to put them in a corner. Listen to me. Listen to me, Adrian. You got to know Jesus. You're going to hell. You don't have to do that. You're going to hell. But you can do that. You can say, hey, you know what? Things are really happening in the earth, and the Bible tells us. Let me tell you how God changed my life. I know you know me, but let me tell you how God had changed my life. I had an encounter with him that was like no other. I can't explain it. And this is how you talk to him. You don't have to browbeat him with the word of God. You give the testimony. The word of the testimony overcomes the enemy's pride against their life. It breaks down the walls that the enemy has let them build around them. I have friends that are not going to make the kingdom of God. Have I witnessed enough to them? You have friends that are not going to make the kingdom of God. They're going to go through this time of the seven trumpets, the seven seals, and the seven bowl judgments. They're going to go through this time if we do not witness to them, if we do not tell them about Jesus. There's so many people lost and they don't know about Jesus at all. There was a guy asking people on the beach, so how many know in 1776 what happened? Was signed. Who was we being decorated from? England. So we have children that are 30 years old and under that don't even know what the 4th of July is all about. Why is that? Because there's no one telling them. There's no one teaching them. There's no one saying, man, did you know what happened in 1776? And who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Who signed it? They have not a clue. It's the same thing with Jesus. They don't have a clue. We have people in Terre Haute, Indiana. They only know Jesus by a cuss word. They have no clue about Jesus as who he is, what he's done, how he's brought a people out of one guy. He called Abram out of Canaan. What? He called him out. And he said, come, I'm going to make you a great nation. They have no clue about the process that God used to bring life into the earth in Jesus Christ himself so he could be the sacrificial blood for all of us. They have no clue how to get out of their addictions. They have no clue how to get out of their bondages. They have no clue how to get out of their mind. So we medicate them. We medicate them and medicate them. Because that is what the world wants you to do, is medicate, medicate, medicate. And we don't give them the truth about Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. We don't give them the truth that he breaks all bondages and breaks all chains. We don't give them the truth that God can set you free. Because we're so tied up of singing songs in the church service, hearing a word today, and then doing nothing with it. This is for the whole church worldwide. This is where we're at, because we're not telling the people that need to know. We already know. But the people outside of here don't know. We have too many Christians that are compromisable. You know what I mean by that? They're compromisable. So there's too many Christians that worship God in the service, go to the altar. Oh, God, he's so good. Want to pray in tongues. And their life is out drinking alcohol with the rest of the world. Their life is out cussing like the rest of the world. They're out living their life because it's good. Life is good outside of the worldly life. They want to live in the world and live in the church on Sunday. They want to live in the world through the week. They want their lives to be in the world. And then the people that say, well, look at that Christian. He says he's a Christian. She's a Christian. I don't want to be like them because I do give to people. I know people that give to charities, give to all kinds of things. They don't even know Jesus because their spirit is to give. We as an American church has missed the mark because we said it, grace, 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 grace. Do whatever you want. You're under grace. Yeah, you're under grace, all right. When you came into the knowledge of the kingdom of God, all that stuff that you did in the past, you're under grace. And when you come and you kneel down and you surrender your life to Jesus and you say, come and live within my heart, you begin to change. You begin to come and be a new person, a new creation within you. It's what the Bible tells me. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation because he lives within me. How can I be like the world with a new creation living within inside me? Because I chase after my own lust and desires. Because I have never surrendered my life totally to Jesus Christ. That's our problem. And so we got friends and family like, I know I've seen you change, but look at that church guy over there. I see him go to church every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But I see him on Friday night in the tavern. I see him on Friday night doing these things. I see him chewing out his wife. I see him beating his wife. I see him doing all this stuff. I hear about it all the time. And what? He's a Christian? I don't want to be like him. I'm okay. I'll take my chances the way I am. I'm telling you, we got to come out of this place of compromisable spirits. We got to come out of that place of being compromised. Changed by the power of the living God. That's who we got to be. There is a power of the living God within us. All right, I'm going to move on. I'm not going to preach. I was going to read. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Listen to that. If anyone has an ear, let him hear what I just said. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Saints are going to be killed. There will be people that, and so where I got to that point was, there will be people that know of Jesus Christ, that have been witnessed to and they said no. During the tribulational period, there will be people that will have to be slain by the sword. They're going to make it. They're going to be martyrs. I don't want to stand before a sword. Would I have to? If I had to, I would. But I don't want to. Do you want to stand before a sword? Do you want to have your neck in a guillotine? All for God, I would. Persecution is what expands the church. If you look at the history of the church, persecution, wherever persecution was, the church grew in power. It grew mightily in persecution. Why do you think God allowed persecution? To scatter the people that were moving and then persecution come and they would grow. Then they would hear the exploits of the kingdom of God. They would hear miracles that God was doing. And they said, man, you know what? It doesn't matter that I'll lose my life for him because I know he is the real deal. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs. He will deceive you. He will deceive many, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So if you do not worship the beast, right? Back in Daniel's time, they said you're supposed to hail to the king, right? Every time. And what did Daniel do? He said, no, ain't going to do it. Ain't going to do it. Finally, he got turned in. He got what? Thrown in the lion's den. God showed who was powerful. God showed who was the God. And he granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And that's what's going to happen. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. So this is all part of what is coming. This is the foretelling of what's going on. He's giving an overview, remember? Because in a time frame of things that are going to happen, I don't know how that time frame is going to work. This is a pause in between the judgments of God. No one can buy or sell except those who have the mark and the name of the beast or the number of his name. What is he doing? He's imitating God again. Because God marked how many? 144,000. Are you marked by God today? Absolutely. You're marked with the Holy Spirit. You listen to the demonic realm or the witches or whatever you want to call them, the warlords or whatever, warlocks, and they'll say, I real true Christians have a aurora or a light around them. They can't touch you. Why is that? Because you're marked. You're marked in the kingdom of God. I don't know about the ones that are compromisable if they're marked. I'm telling you. Ones that compromise, I don't know if they're marked. I'm going to say not. We got time to go on? Or you want to be done? Where are you guys at? Okay. We'll do 14 anyway. Then I looked and behold a lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and the voice of loud thunder, and I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with woman, for they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And their mouth was found no deceit. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Can you imagine what your voice would be like before the throne of God? What do you think your language would be like before the throne of God? Would it be like it is today in the earth? Would it be like it is to you when you're talking to your friends? You're standing before the throne of God. You know how those words pop up? They don't really for me anymore. They haven't for a long time, unless I get mad at Tabby. I'm being honest. I mean, not very often. Sometimes I get pushed to a limit. We all do. But in those conversations of I'm a sinner. I was. I'm redeemed by Christ. I'm a new creation. Oh, nature comes up every once in a while. Okay, so I'm just like you. I'm no different. But I've grown a lot since then, since my old ways. So I won't try to say I'm somebody else that I'm not. I'm going to tell you the truth. But listen to me. If I'm around my friends, do I act that way? How do I talk around my friends? And would I stand before the throne of God and talk that same way? Probably not. I wonder if God made you mad. That would be my question. I wonder if God made me mad. What would I do, Tabby? You'd like to see? All right. And their mouth was found with no deceit, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Verse 6. Then I saw an angel, another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, and the great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And so that is where the movies and all this stuff that we drink of the wine of the city of Babylon. If you're watching movies that do not glorify God, they got cussing, or they got raping, they got sexual implicit stuff going on. If you're watching stuff that does not, would you watch it with God? Put it that way. Would you watch it with God? Hey, Jesus, let's sit down and watch a movie tonight. Would you watch it? Okay, let's move on. Some of us would have to say, we need to get rid of Netflix, or we need to get rid of whatever streaming service you have. Where am I at? 8. Verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worship the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. Listen to this. If you still here, and the rapture happens, and you take the mark of the beast, you have no access to heaven. You have no access to heaven. None. It says that you will drink the indignation of Satan and his angels. No access to heaven. And the smoke and their torment, verse 11, ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest the day or night who worship the beast and his image. And whoever receives the mark of his name, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Verse 14, then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on that cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap the harvest of the earth. So he sat on the cloud, thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out from the temple within of heaven, and having a sharp sickle in his hand. What's that look like? Hey, how are you? I didn't see you come in. You good? All right, you okay? Okay. We're going to have you share in a minute. All right. Listen to this. Two angels, two sickles. Is there a rapture of the church? I believe there is. He thrust it. It says, then another angel came out of the temple with his, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried out with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle in the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the great wrath of God. And the wine press was trampled outside the city, and the blood came up to the wine press, up to the horse's bridle, and 1,600 furlongs. There is a thrust of it. That is not the saints. I don't believe that's the saints. Let's stop there. There's so much more we need to dig into, but let's just stop there. Travis, you want to come up here and give a testimony? You want to do it from your seat? Am I still on?
Testing, testing.
We're going to have communion in just a moment.
This morning I was feeling, this whole week I've been fighting not being able to catch my breath and being able to breathe properly. And we were heading towards church and my left arm went a little numb, and Marcia just said we probably need to take you to the hospital, just make sure that you're doing okay. And like I've been having like what feels like a mental attack by the enemy all week. And as I'm laying there, Marcia had you on, and you guys were praying, and I didn't even know because I was kind of spacing in and out. And I laid there and I about dozed off, and as I was doing that, I was about dozing off, it felt like a pressure relief with a puff of air coming out, not with me breathing, but it was like something was being released. And all of a sudden the pressure in my head and a lot of other things went away. It was like something had just been let go of. And I think everybody in here needs to understand that there's stuff that you need to let go of so you can let God do the healing in your life. And I just wanted to, that's when they said I could be released, I wanted to make sure I got back here in time, because I think it kind of fits with your message today.
Yeah. Amen.